Professor, you were quoted in a Washington Post feature that referenced the term doom scrolling, which I thought was right on. You have a theory as to why we are doing that. Let's start there.
Yes, and actually I think it connects very well with San Francisco because I think it's very technologically oriented. We are being conditioned to doom scroll or to infinite scroll because that's an option available to us. And right now it's the default for a lot of social media feeds.
So are we seeking out bad information? I mean, are we specifically seeking out COVID information? Are we looking for like-minded souls? I mean, what's the motivation here?
That's a good question. I think that both of those are probably a little bit true, but even more true is that this problem was here way before we had all this bad news. 2020 has just been bad news after bad news, so it's really compounding the effect. But we were trapped within our devices and scrolling kind of mindlessly, very automatically, way before we had all this bad news. So I think that the fact that just the year has been so bad means that we are exposed to more and more, and then that's definitely going to impact your mental health.
So drilling down a little bit more, is the fact that we're doing this so often at night further complicating the fact that we're doing this at all?
Probably, because you don't have something else to break you out of it. One of the things I mentioned to the Washington Post reporter was that we really need some kind of external cue to shake you out of that automatic behavior where you're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And that cue isn't there, especially it's not there at night because nothing's going to stop you, whereas at least during the day, maybe you have a meeting or something you have to get to. And that's why one of the best ways to get rid of doom scrolling would be to set some kind of external cue that's going to shake you out of it and at least give you a chance to decide and say, hey, I want to stop doing this today.
I have found, just personally, that I'm less likely to hop on social media in my off hours when I'm not working because the content is all the same. No matter what channel you're on, it's mostly COVID, right? People aren't posting pictures of their vacation and all this fun other stuff. It's kind of like a one-note symphony.
Yes, and I think that that's actually one of the most interesting pieces of it, because if you look way back to very early psychology history, operant conditioning, it would predict that when you get very few rewards, you're going to have the behavior go on longer and longer. It's very hard. The word they use is to extinct it, which means basically when you stop getting rewarded, eventually you stop doing something. But when the rewards are few and far between, it's kind of like pulling that slot machine, that they're so few and far between that you just never stop. And then that's what really keeps people scrolling.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Dr. Libby, squeeze in one more quick question here. I think a lot of our listeners probably have teenage kids that are on their devices all the time to start with. Any thoughts in terms of how parents might influence their behavior?
Well, I did actually see some interesting advice from one of the other experts that was interviewed for that article, and it was to make it look boring. So if you could, for example, put everything in grayscale, then all of a sudden maybe the allure of that, device isn't as strong. But frankly, it's that social connection. So, having kids on devices and teenagers on devices, they're seeking that same social connection that all teenagers seek. And I think that it's going to be very hard to stop that unless you can get people in person, which we just really can't do right now.